Enchanted Sky Media. Media.
This is Code 3, the podcast for firefighters. Now, here's your host, Scott Orr.
Thanks for joining me again this week. Today I'm talking with Central Arizona Fire and Medical Authority engineer Eric Merrill. He has some interesting insights into the education firefighters are required to have these days. Time was a man would get some basic training in firefighting at the academy and then he'd learn the rest on the job. But now, college-level courses are necessary before anyone even starts riding the big red engines. Some of the older guys have been a little skeptical of that. Eric joins me now to discuss firefighter education and other topics. Thanks for being on Code 3.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
How did you get into this business?
Well, it's something I always knew I wanted to do even as a kid. And, you know, sometimes we want to be superheroes or rock stars. I wanted to be a fireman, and I just decided never to grow up, kind of the Peter Pan syndrome. And so as soon as I graduated high school, I moved to a college town, and I started my studies and my associate's degree in fire protection technology, completed that, and had a had kind of a moment of clarity where I decided I wanted to relocate and relocate somewhere where I thought I could, you know, be a little bit more advantageous. And I came to the Southwest because I'd heard about so many fires and need for firefighters at that time in the mid-2000s. So that's how I ended up out here.
You said you got an associate's degree.
Yes, sir. Education is key.
As I said in the intro, there was a time when a guy would just go to the academy and then he'd get on the rig and go. What's changed since then?
Well, just like anything, and especially in business, you have to evolve. And even though we're not necessarily business with, you know, profit margins and generate revenue and spend, we do still have to play within certain boundaries, you know, because we do, you know, have a budget to allocate resources and so forth. So as being a business, you are more strategic with your leaders from the top down, but also from the bottom up. And with that being said, operating as a business, it takes education to grow and evolve. And we're no longer just a business of firefighters who have a high school diploma, go take a semester class in emergency medicine, and then a semester class in fire protection, and then get thrown on a truck, and then you learn as you go. We're expected and required to do too many things anymore, and that being anywhere from EMS, which is almost 90, you know, some departments more than 90% of our call volume, and then, you know, also firefighting, structure protection, wildland firefighting, technical rescue, hazardous materials. There's no end to the things that we get called to do. So with all that being said, the more education you have, the more training you have, then the farther we can go and evolve in our expectations of the community when we're providing services. And our services are evolving all the time. And that's countrywide. And when you get into things like community paramedicine and the way our EMS structure has evolved in the country, we have to be, in my opinion, as our organization, we have to be in the forefront. We have to be progressive. That's part of our vision statement. And our mission is also to be, you know, number one satisfaction by our customers. And satisfaction to us is exceeding expectations, exceeding customer service. So by having this education, we can, you know, break down. It's not just putting water on fire. It's how does the flow path move through the structure? And if I close this door, open this window, how does that flow path dictate the fire behavior? And it's understanding, that's just one small example of how education benefits, because when you look at NIOSH reports, which are the reports that are structured after line of duty death, you look at commonalities. Commonalities all the time are always communications and some sort of, not necessarily failure in training, but more so maybe a lack of understanding of a fire behavior or how something's, you know, the cause and effect of something. So the more education we have, we honor the idea and the handshake agreement that we made with ourselves that everybody goes home safe.
Do some of the older firefighters wonder about all the schooling required today versus the way they did it?
Absolutely. And let me give you a just a brief story to kind of accent my belief system.
Sure.
Is I once spoke to a captain, almost 30 years on, is the captain paramedic. Tactically and strategically, one of the most brilliant minds I've ever come across. And he gained that through experience. So I will never, ever, ever negate that experience holds more water than anything. But you also have to have education too, because, you know, our structures are evolving. The way our medicines and EMS are evolving, and you know, there's all sorts more, you know, facets of the job that we have to be educated on. But with all that being said, this captain says to me, well, you know, I think it's ridiculous that we're required to have degrees to promote in the future. He said, when I got hired, this is how it was. Well, having a this is how it's always been mentality, that goes hand in hand with entitlement. And I can tell you that through our progression, the direction of our leadership and our organization, we don't believe in entitlement. We believe in accountability. So with accountability comes being educated, being informed, staying informed, and then helping spread that education. So having this conversation with this gentleman, I said, well, how many classes do you think you've taken in your entire career? And he starts naming off all these classes. And I said, that's funny, because every class that I just wrote down that you've taken is in a curriculum for the same associate's degree that I have, except minus one math class and maybe a sociology class or American history, something like that. I said, but what's funny is I said, every single night between 8 and 9 before bed, if we don't have any calls, I watch you watch the History Channel. And I said, and you've been an engineer. And I can promise you that the hydraulics, the mathematical equations we use for hydraulics and pumping fire engines is a lot more complex than basic college math. So you could probably challenge those two classes and all the other classes you've taken. That's the equivalent to an associate's degree. So I followed that up with, out of all those classes you took, are those just pieces of paper that sit in a folder? Or did you take something out of every class you took? And he said, oh, no, I got something out of every single class. And now he's teaching a lot of those classes. I said, well, now you can't say that there's no water in that education, in that degree.
Right. He didn't realize that he'd taken the same classes over the years that you took up front.
Absolutely. But the funny thing is out of, you know, 80% of those classes he took or certifications, he took those in his first 5 years.
What do you like about this job?
Oh, what's not to like about this job? I guess that's probably easier to start there. But what I love about this job is it does a lot of things for me. I'm from a small town in Nebraska where we believe firmly in community. And living up here, I get a couple things. I get that sense of community for being, you know, relatively a smaller area compared to like Phoenix, for instance. But it's bigger than anything I've ever lived in. So I get kind of a big city feel, but yet a small town community sense. And so I really enjoy that community, sense of community. So I'm big on giving back to the community. So what not better way than if somebody's having an emergency, especially the worst maybe possibly of their life, that they call us and we get to be there to help them. And that's where that education and training comes in, because when somebody calls, you have, you know, minutes to get there and have a solution to a problem. And I like having solutions of problems, helping people, seeing people get better. And, you know, we have a family here, not only just in our community, but also in our organization. We're family. We're brothers and sisters. And then we live together. We train together. You know, we play together outside of here, you know, barbecues and things like that. So the job is different every single day. And when you show up to work, you don't know what's going to happen the next 24 hours. So that's exciting. And it's refreshing every single day. And it provides stability for my family, too.
What was it like to bring two fire districts together into this fire authority?
We've always, since I've been here, we trained together. Prescott, when it was Central Yavapai and Chino, and then also our neighboring agencies, Mayor and Williamson Valley, Baghdad, Groom Creek, Walker, there's plenty of agencies that we all train together. So with that being said, we've always kind of shared policies and SOGs. We're on the same union. And so through our union efforts and the brotherhood, we've already been family. So all we really did was change the name, because we've always been family. Plus we're, you know, 10 stations versus 5 stations, so a little bit bigger pot. And it's actually beneficial because we're able to kind of share our resources amongst CAFMA, being our paramedics, our TRT, our hazmat technicians. So we're able to, you know, cut costs a little bit differently as far as you know, the overtime budget and moving people more strategically where they need to be. And then also just kind of our landscape is a little bit different too. You know, the city of Prescott has their stations in the city of Prescott. Central Arizona Fire Medical Authority has one station in Prescott. We have another one in Williamson Valley, two in Chino, one in Paulden. Then you have several in Prescott Valley and Dewey. So we're actually covering a very broad landscape with a lot of different dynamics and demographics amongst the customer bases, and also just kind of the call dynamics too. But other than really the logistics, there are no differences because, again, we're all one big family. We've trained together. Our policies and SOGs are relatively the same. We have a few things a little bit differently. And so with all that being said, we all have that same family approach to each other.
And Eric Merrill, thanks for joining me on Code 3.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And that's all for this week's edition of Code 3. Please check out our Amazon Firefighter product links at code3podcast.com. If you order through our website, we get a cut of it. Talk about a win-win. Okay, that's all for this week. I'm Scott Orr. I hope you'll join me again next week. Until then, I'll see you later.
Code 3 is a production of Enchanted Sky Media. To get in contact with us, visit code3podcast.com. And if you haven't subscribed yet, you should. Don't miss an episode. Find us at the Apple iTunes Store, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts.